Glory to God.
Father, thank you. Thank you for laughter. It is a medicine, God, that you cannot buy. I thank you for joy in your spirit. I thank you for peace with you. I thank you for grace that is more than sufficient. I thank you for the men and women that have sacrificed to come into your presence tonight. God, you have entrusted me with your word. Do not let me fail you. Don't let your word return to you void. Do what you want it to do tonight. Use me to say what you want me to say. Open up my eyes. Let me see it like you see it. Let me speak it like you want it spoke. I thank you for the blood of Jesus that covers a multitude of sins. And I do thank you for your word, because it is quick and it is powerful and it is sharper than any two-edged sword. And I thank you for your spirit, because in your spirit there is life. And I give you praise and I give you thanks. And it's in the name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Exodus chapter 2. We'll start at verse 1. Exodus chapter 2. We'll go to verse 1. Then we'll go to verse 22. Then we'll go to chapter 3. Verse 1. And I'll go slow. How's that?
Amen.
I a few seconds ago, was talking to my wife on the phone. I said, last night it snowed, and there were a lot of people here. I said, I'm in the parking lot right now. It needs to snow again. People are not here. I turned around, and people are here.
Yes.
I'm glad you came tonight.
Amen.
Let me explain something to you. I need to do this. Last night, Spirit Lord told me to do this, and I feel like He wants me to do it each night in this revival from here out. And it's about talking in tongues. There's a lot of criticism in speaking in tongues. We've been raised all kind of different ways about it.
Come on.
My heritage really is Wesleyan Methodist, Baptist, Church of God, and Free Will Baptist, and Nazarene.
Wow.
I like the little puppy that run around, you know, in the yard. Yeah, what kind of dog's that? And they go, Heinz 57, okay? The Baptist side of me, no offense to the Baptist side, but my Baptist side raised me and told me that wasn't right. Really. My Nazarene family, if you read their teachings are identical to the Church of God, all except one thing, and speaking in tongues. They believed it was permissible, but it wasn't relevant. There again, my Wesleyan Methodist heritage was, if your baby cried, when you took your baby out, you never come back in the sanctuary. That's how strict it was. Yeah, Wesleyan Methodist, back in the old days. Trust me, I know. I cried, they took me out, and they wouldn't let my mom back in. But that's way before they had nurseries. So my Pentecostal side told me it was okay. Well, I didn't know what to believe until I received. So I'm going to tell you about it. I'm going to tell you three things about speaking in tongues. There are three different types of tongues. One is a tongue where you pray for yourself to God, and it's intercession. One. Two is a tongue that is spoken in a church where there is an interpretation. Three, there is a tongue that is spoken and you speak another language, and somebody else hears you speak that language. I've used the illustration. I'll use it one more time. I was in Grand Junction, spoke Navajo. The lady that was here last night, there you are. I spoke Navajo. I don't know Navajo. I never met any Navajo people until over there. And I spoke Navajo by speaking in tongues one night. And they come up to me, and the tribal chief or leader was there. And he said, God answered our prayer. And I'm like, okay, what'd you do? They said, well, when you were speaking Navajo tonight. And I said, I don't know Navajo. His wife said, you do know Navajo because we heard you. And it's amazing what God can do.
Yes, amen.
When you believe Him.
Yes.
or when you're willing to release. So if you hear tongues in this place tonight, they're not crazy, they're not foaming at the mouth, and they're not rabid. And they won't bite you and hurt you, okay? Well, it's a good time to laugh. It's a good time. Okay, laugh. All right. Have your Bible. Listen, I've just had a weird day. Been in the room for the biggest part. Jesse come and got me for lunch, and we eat. He took me back. I've been in the room. I just haven't felt good. I left last night with a migraine. Have felt good today. Just, it's not been sick today. It's just something. And I got this weird message. And it's called the desert.
All right.
The desert.
Hallelujah.
The school of self-discovery. The desert. The school of self-discovery. Because if you want to find God in your life, oftentimes you have to be taken to a place where the surroundings and the environment is unfriendly, somewhat hostile, somewhat that it irritates you, aggravates you, makes you madder than H-E double hockey sticks, if you don't know what that is. That would be hell. Or heaven. I don't think you make madder than heaven. It's irritating. Something always annoying you. You want to love God, but you're having a hard time loving God.
Come on.
I'm not going to lie, you know. There have been places in my life where I have had a hard time loving God.
All right?
Amen.
Well, I got a son that me and him growing up together, there was one day in our shop that I told him, he ran his mouth to me, and I balled up my fist and I said, son, it was just one of those moments. I've never hit my son. I've never cursed my son. Never have. Not one time cussed my son, my wife, or my daughter. I've never hit them or abused them. I'm not an abuser. I'm a jerk. But I'm not an abuser. Not to my family. I have to live with them. And I want my son coming home. I don't want him saying, I don't want to go to my old man's house. Hang out with me. So one day in the shop, I balled up my fist and I said, son, you're about to get it. And I turned around. And I got this weird, cold feeling. Like, something bad's about to happen to me. And my son has got this... I have a metal shop, okay? And we mess with motorcycles and Jeeps and everything. And we fabricate parts. And he's standing there with this steel bar in his hand. And he looks at me and says, Dad, I love you. And I know if you hit me, you're going to knock me out. But before you hit me, I'm going to break your arm. I said, son, put the pipe down. I turned around and walked away. He said, is this done? I said, yeah. He said, you know I don't like you right now, Dad. And I can imagine if my son doesn't like me, that my Father God understands me sometimes when I don't like him.
Amen.
Help me.
Yes, sir.
Y'all are looking at me like I cuss and spit on five people.
Come true.
Come on.
You say you've not read any scripture yet. I don't have to read it yet. I know where I'm going.
Amen.
I'm following him.
Amen.
And right now I make some sense to some people because they've always thought if you got mad at God, he's got this lightning bolt. And he's ready to zap you in your timberlands or whatever y'all wear out here. And just, oh yeah, baby. Talk bad about me again. And God just sort of bites his hand and walks away and says, another one bites the dust. Can I give you one more before I read scripture? I'm sitting in Florida. A man comes by. I'm unsanctified. I like to smell cigars. I do. Mm-hmm. To this day, I do. Guy comes by the cigar and beer. Asking what kind of cigar we're sitting on there because of the waterways. Me and two preachers. Other preachers are scuba diving. He just sits down at my table. I didn't ask him, didn't invite him. He's got his beer, he's got his cigar, and he's talking about women. And I'll be nice and not even abbreviate anything he's talking about. And what he's wanting to do. And I'm sitting there going, okay. And my two preacher buddies come back, and one of them's super spiritual. I love super spiritual people. They're full of mud. And you tell how they're full of mud when you get them out there.
That's right.
Because he started doing this. I mean, that guy's name's Ed. He's sitting here. And this guy, Bobby, as his name, starts doing this. I plead the blood of Jesus over you, you devil, you. Because Ed, I lied and thought he did it. And Ed is saying, GD ever in breath. Now, before you go, oh my God, hold on a second, because we're going somewhere. This is what God told me while Ed's cussing him. He's cussing me. I hadn't killed him yet. Sit here, get past your religion, because if he was cussing you like he's cussing me, you would want to bust him. But I'm not you, and I don't need you to protect my name.
Alright, amen.
I don't need you to tell people you ought not say that. Just sit here, shut up, and let me use you.
Amen. Amen. Come on. Hallelujah.
For all the religious folks, they just I see you roll your tongue back in. It's okay. Well, you want me to finish?
Yes, yeah. Come on.
Oh,
yeah.
God. Okay.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes.
So we're sitting there. And by the way, the little Bobby guy that pleaded the blood of Jesus is having a bikini contest. Honestly, they were. I mean, they were. Anyway, I'm a man, I see them, my God. You know, deer headlights, I'm sorry. I look. I try not to see it. So he goes over and watches the bikini contest after bleeding the blood of Jesus over this guy. Because Ed won't stop cussing. And my other preacher buddy, which we grew up in church together, he started going, oh my God, oh. Every time he said GD, he's basically, oh my God. Oh my God. I said, love religious people. They choke when they get around the people that they don't know.
Yep.
You want to finish this, don't you?
Yes.
You want to know what happened, don't you?
Yeah, come on.
Ed is sitting there, and all of a sudden, I ask Ed, what do you do for a living? And he points to a $2.5 million boat tied up. Because he told me it was $2.5 million. And he told me what his friend was on there doing on the boat. And we'll leave that alone, because that's triple X rating. And Ed all of a sudden said, I'm from Kentucky. We buy racehorses, and that's our house when we come down here. And we're down here buying some ponies to take them back to Kentucky. Mm-hmm. And then he said, what do you do for a living? I said, I'm a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He takes his beer. I light it up. I like you, dude, with the hat. I just like you for some reason. Yeah, you seem like my kind of person. He takes his beer, puts it down between his legs, drops a cigar down his side, and looks at me, just cold stares me for a minute. He goes, why did you sit here and let me talk like that? And I said, you've not said anything I haven't said.
Come on.
You've not done anything I haven't done. You're not acting in any way I'm not acting.
Amen, man.
And God told me that he loved you and he hadn't killed you yet. And for me to sit here and get past my religion, would you like to know the rest of the story?
Yeah.
He looks at me and tells me he's an atheist. And he says, the next thing is this. Do you know what a prayer warrior is? I said, of course I do. Pastor.
Mm-hmm.
He said, my mom's a prayer warrior, but I'm an atheist. And I looked at him and I said, no, you're not. And we argued like two little kids for 60 seconds or more. Yes, no, yes, no, yes, no. And finally, he got mad enough at me to say, prove it to me. I said, if you were an atheist, you would have said your mama was one of those religious fanatics.
Yes.
Who felt like she had to scream and cry to a God that you can't see. But you said prayer warrior. And an atheist would never know what a prayer warrior is.
Yeah.
And Ed let me pray with him before he walked away. Now you say, where are you going with that? God being a father knows sometimes he's going to put you in places where you're not going to like him.
Come on.
All right.
Hold on a second. Got another one. I just got to do this. This is what I got to do, okay? Just hang out. You say, hey, read no scripture. Hold on. You've heard enough scripture to float a boat.
Yes.
How do you start living it? My mama taught me that if you ever question God, he'd get you.
Because you don't ever question God.
If you question God, you don't love God. I have a son and a daughter. Both of them questioned me. Never killed them either. So if you think God is mad at you for being mad at him, he's not. And if you think God's upset at you for how you've lived today, or what you've said today, or how you've acted today, and if you feel like you're sitting here full of guilt and condemnation, you might just be in a desert. Not. Don't you say it like that?
Come on.
It could be of your own making.
Oh, yes. Come on.
Amen.
But it's where you're going to find God.
Yes.
And it's where he's going to reveal himself. And it's where you're going to find out really who you are.
Yes.
Now I'll read scripture. How's that? Exodus 2:1. And Moses was content. Say content. To dwell with the men, and he gave Zipporah to Moses, his daughter. That 22. And she bore him two sons, and called one named Gershom, and he said, I have been a stranger in a strange land. Chapter 3, verse 1. Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the backside of the desert. And he came to the Mount of God, even unto Horeb. Acts 7:29-30. I'll give you a second to turn there. Acts 7:29-30. Well, I want you to get there. How your page is turning. That sounds good. At this remark, Moses fled and became an alien in the land of Midian, where he became the father of two sons. And after 40 years had passed, say 40 years.
40 years.
Say it again.
40 years.
One more time.
40 years.
After 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai in the flame of a burning thorn bush. Woo! I'm reading a different translation, so that's okay. That works. You're going, where's those words at? It's a startling statement. 40 years. But how did he get there? He is put in a river, found by Pharaoh's daughter, raised by his mother, made a Pharaoh. Mm-hmm. What we don't understand a lot of times about being made a Pharaoh is that they do a lot of things to you.
Mm-hmm.
They do a lot of cultural things to you. They paint you. They pierce you. They tattoo you. But see, there's things that we don't read a lot of times that you do in history. We just say, well, he was a Pharaoh. And we leave it at that. And we think he was some redneck from North Carolina. We come from North Carolina, had a plaid shirt on. We decided we'd change him. Put him in a tuxedo, put him in a limo. Can't change his accent, but you know, that's okay. We'll make him a Pharaoh. No, they changed everything about him they could, because they wanted him or the people to identify him, ready, as a leader in Egypt.
Right.
Because he was not to them a Jew.
That's right.
He was a Gentile Egyptian to them. He had been taken over. He was being programmed.
Oh, come on. Amen.
Well, let me give you a little analysis. It sort of sounds like us, where we are aliens to God, and we've been programmed by this world not to think godly, not to think holy. And the only way that you can get to a God state sometimes, or to become godly, is for God to take you through some things, and some of those things you mess up. Well, I lost you. I don't know where you went, but hey, I'm still here, so I'm going to stay with it. So he does all of these things, but he has a mother that keeps instilling righteousness in him, that keeps speaking into him. And you listen to me. You've got to watch who speaks into you.
Oh, come on. Good preaching.
You need to watch who you're listening to, who's prophesying. I love people that prophesy. Hang out with me for a second. You come in a pink car tonight. No, you don't. You come in an orange car tonight. No. You come in a tangerine colored car tonight. No. How many times are we going to let that happen without looking at that moron and going, you need to shut up?
Amen.
God doesn't make mistakes.
Amen.
That's right.
Amen. Yes.
If you're a prophet, prophesy. If you ain't, shut up. Quit causing a spirit of confusion.
Amen.
Because God never gave his bride a spirit of confusion.
Amen.
For some reason, I feel a little kick in here.
Kick.
A little mule kick.
Kick.
You know, like, kick it. But, that did it. It ought not be so.
Well, come on, Pastor.
Things in God's house, in God's kingdom, needs to be done in decency and in order.
Yes.
And God has an order. And sometimes God's order seems like chaos.
Yeah.
And when God's moving in your life, it can be one of the craziest moments of your life. So you've got to watch who's...
Yes.
Come on.
Amen. That's good. You see? I was eating with him yesterday, and God spoke something to me, and I just kept it quiet. And I told myself yesterday that for the remainder of this revival, from 5 to 7, and I'll be late for church, because I'm going to come in late. I don't want people talking to me. I don't know if I'm coming up to me going, because if I know you're God in this house, I don't hear you. And you're not telling me. How's that?
Yeah.
So, and if I limit myself to going out with you, I'm sorry. I'd rather hear God for you than to eat with you. So you okay with this?
Yeah.
So I've been in the room today, and I just cut everything off. Just cut it all off when I went back into the room about 2:30. And I just was like, okay, God, what do you want? So this is sort of what I get right now, okay? Is what should you have speak into you? What should you have lay hands on you? What should you have prophesied over you? And don't be deceived.
Amen.
He says to tell this body tonight that one of the greatest gifts of the Spirit is discernment.
Amen.
And he says, "You in Malachi, you shall discern between the righteous and the wicked, and between him that serves God and him that serves him not."
Amen.
Oh, wow.
Okay. No, guys, stay right here.
Come on.
Crazy. Hang out with you.
Come on. Yes.
He's got his mama speaking into him, and he's got the world telling him what he ought to do. none of you have ever been confused. Let me. Especially in my relationship with God. Huh? I'm sort of like this sometimes. I'm like a scarecrow on the pole. Which way do we go? And I know this is about how I feel. I know you've never been there. You're the woman of God. He's the man of God. And I'm crazy. Nobody's ever been confused with me. So one day, Moses sees an Egyptian wailing on a Jewish man. So Moses goes and gets something and kills him. Not the Jew, but the
really who
killed. He killed an Egyptian. Yeah. You know who they've been making him, don't you?
Right.
An Egyptian.
Right.
You know why he's got his ears pierced? He's an Egyptian. You know why he's got the tattoos? He's an Egyptian.
Yeah. Amen.
You know why he's not acting like the Jews? Or is he? He don't know what he's acting like. Because when he kills the Egyptian and he buries him in the sand, the Jews turn on him.
That's right.
Right.
It's one of those, if you do and if you don't, they hate you.
That's right.
World don't like it. Church don't like it. World don't understand you. Other Christians don't understand you. Help me.
Come on.
So that what most of us do, we do what he did. We run. We run from God. We run from the world. I used to run from the world. I loved to eat acid. I run from the world. I loved to smoke dope. I run from the world. Well, those were my escapism.
That's right.
That's who I was. And I didn't like what the world was. I drunk Everclear liquor. I don't like beer. Never did. But I drunk the liquor to get drunk, to smoke the pot, to do the drugs, to numb myself.
Come on.
None of y'all have ever run from anything. All of y'all are good Christians, and especially since you've gotten saved, you're super saints.
Oh my.
And you never got mad at anybody, and you never said anything under your breath. So I'm not doing any good here tonight, so I'll preach to myself in the screen. Go figure. And then I ran from God. Couldn't get me to go to church. Mama would beg me, she raised me in church, told me about Jesus, prayed over me, had those stupid, crazy, I mean that in good terms, stupid, crazy prayer warriors from the church come over with the bottle of anointing oil. They anointed my bed. They anointed my toilet. You sit on my toilet, you slide off. I'm 59, okay? So I wore Indian moccasin boots and bandanas out my back pocket with my jean hat with the joint stuck in it. And she anointed all of my bandanas. This happened. Try going to a Kiss concert and trying to enjoy it, and a bandana been anointed by a bunch of crazy prayer warriors. And you're standing in a Kiss concert, your shirt unbuttoned, sweating like a horse, going, Kiss, rock it up. And all of a sudden, you're like freeze. I mean, it gets cold in the Kiss concert. And God speaks to you. You don't hear Kiss no more. It's like my daughter used to do to me. You know? You don't hear God anymore. I mean, don't hear Kiss anymore. All of a sudden, you hear God go, here you stand giving the devil all the praise, not giving me any. And all of a sudden your high's gone. It was gone. I couldn't enjoy the rest of the concert.